This teaching comes from one that I was working on earlier this year, and when I wrote it the first time, I wrote it from the point of view of being a pastor and a changing church. And so I would call this the Apostolic Church in the Kingdom, if you have to have a title. So I want to start by reviewing our mountains of culture. Remember, we have seven mountains of culture: family, business, education, religion, arts, media. Who did I forget? Government. How could I forget government right now? And that is all covered by the kingdom of God. All of those mountains are in the kingdom of God. And so, a couple of weeks ago, Al talked about the characteristics of what the kingdom was. And to quickly review, the kingdom is the sum total of all redeeming activity going on in the world that is redeeming in Christ. And it covers every aspect of living and culture. God reviews and directs his kingdom and the strategies that he wants to see manifest for his purposes and destiny. According to Hebrews 12:23, we are citizens that are registered in the kingdom if we are part of the church. The spiritual kingdom becomes visible through us as we assemble as the church. And we all know that we have power as a Christian, but when we assemble together, there's exponential power. Deuteronomy 32:30 says, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, and you can ask Al about the math for the rest of it. So he's already done, he worked that out at some point in time. But it's exponential. It is not just additional power. So in our worship, in our prayer, in our warfare, in how we reach out to the community, how we impact and expand the territory and reflect who we are supposed to be in the kingdom becomes exponential as we gather together in the church. Very quickly, the kingdom has a government, the kingdom has a ruler, the kingdom has administration, it has a culture. The kingdom is good news. It's connected through the generations, and it is not based on worldly patterns. God's kingdom is not based on our patterns. It's based on his patterns. It's beyond our natural thoughts. It cannot be obtained by ambition. Remember John and James's mother who had ambition for her sons? It cannot be obtained by ambition. We should never postpone the kingdom. When the kingdom is moving, we need to move with it. When it is changing, when he is dynamically moving us, we need to be willing to move. It should never be postponed. Kingdom has provision, and Al talked about how that supply is always there, but how it can also change and how it will be changing in the coming time. Kingdom has a territory, and we have authority in the territory that we have been given, and he is always looking to expand the territory, taking back what the devil or the enemy has taken. Kingdom has an atmosphere. Kingdom has prophets, war units, gatekeepers, treasurers. Kingdom has music and sound, and it has those who serve. Kingdom has chief ministers. God's kingdom has tremendous power. And God's kingdom has fivefold gifts. So, that's the kingdom. So how does the church fit into that? Because remember, the church is part of one mountain. And the church can't go into Matthias's office and even speak the same vocabulary. So how do we impact our whole culture? How does the church fit into that? We have a tendency to look at the church as the kingdom instead of being part of the kingdom. And that's a mind paradigm that we need to change. If the church as we have known it has not fulfilled its kingdom mandate of equipping believers for the work of the ministry. The church in the Christian church from 325 AD was changed by Constantine. We've talked before about the changes he made, where the early church had exponential growth explosion, and he came in and he made church legal, but he changed it to look like the paganistic practices that he was used to. So not only was the physical structure changed to look like a Mithraic temple, but the practices were changed, and we went into the Dark Ages from that point in time. Everything just pretty much shut down. Holy Spirit left shortly after that, and the church structure as we know it traditionally now hasn't changed a whole lot from when Constantine set it up. He actually banned the fivefold ministry because he could not control apostles and prophets, never mind teachers and evangelists. So he set up priests, and he could control the priests. He could control what they said. Basically, we were left as a church of spectators where there was laity, those who were considered uninformed, and the priesthood, which thought they knew everything and had the only word to God. And we know that that's not true, as we've read and studied, and Holy Spirit has returned fivefold ministry as he's returned his own presence in the church. I believe that this concept of if we haven't been to Bible school, we can't be in ministry, came from that concept of laity and priesthood. We are all priests to the Lord and before the Lord. And that concept was very true and active in the early church. In the early persecution, by the time you went through your bar mitzvah or your bat mitzvah, you pretty much knew most of the scripture or the Torah by heart. So when they all got chased out of Jerusalem, the 13-year-olds, the 14-year-olds, the 15-year-olds knew the scripture. Because of the way they met, they could actually go into an area and start a new church. The apostles did not leave Jerusalem. It was the believers that left Jerusalem, and the church exploded because we were all trained as believers to minister, to know the word. So as we have been moving around the world and listening to those that move around even more than we do, we're starting to see that structure be returned. That the new, what we call now the new wineskin, is actually looking more and more like the early church. Whether it's a house church or a huge temple, it's starting to look more and more like the early church. I looked up the word church in the Bible. I got out Esord and looked it up. And it's only mentioned in the Gospels in the book of Matthew. And every single time it is mentioned, it is the word ecclesia, according to Strong's Concordance. That is a convening body or a congregating body, but in Israel, it was also a body that was brought together to deliberate, sometimes called together, called out ones to deliberate the things of God. And we all know that at that point in time, the Sanhedrin not only ran your religious life, it ran everything else as well. So the Sanhedrin was part of almost every single culture or mountain of culture at the time. The fivefold ministry is being administratively put back into the church. Traditionally, the pastor has been the head of the church. We know that. But the pastor, as an office gift, was never designed to be the head of the church. The apostle was. The apostle puts things into place. The prophet will give clarity to the word of God, gives the now word of God. The evangelist will birth a new Christian into the kingdom. The pastor loves and cares. And in the past, we gather everybody in. We like our chicks in a row. We like our ducks in a row. And then the teacher provides training. And all of the fivefold working together were given to the church for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, according to Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. So the believer becomes a mature believer if they are equipped properly and they are equipped to minister to others. If we have ministered deliverance to you, you know that we spend time teaching you how to maintain it, teaching you how to do it for somebody else. If you are an intercessor, you've had opportunity to find training for being able to pray in certain ways, depending upon what your intercessory gifting is. If whatever it is that you have had need of, we have not only tried to provide it for you, but to give you the opportunity to learn how to keep it so that you're not looking to Lisa or myself or Al or Ron in the past or other church leaders for what you need, but you will know how to go to God for what you need, and you will know how to stand for others to help them grow. Because just like a regular family, the mature ones in the family help the younger ones grow. Sometimes we don't like being the oldest kid like I was, because I was expected to help make sure that my brothers did what they were supposed to do. They thought I was the boss, the older sister. I'm sure I was. But no one gift or office is more important. They are all needed. Just like when I spoke about the spiritual gifts, there is no one spiritual gift that is not needed. They are all needed. We all need to work together to work as the body, as Christ's body, which he calls the church. The traditional or pastoral, I'll call it a pastoral church, and the apostolic church are different in mindset and operation. In the pastoral church, the pastor is paid to do the work of the ministry. I remember when Al and I were first called up here and called to stay, and I was trying to explain this to his grandmother. And we talked about being in ministry and you know, living by faith. And she looked at me and she said, but that's what the minister's paid to do. You should be doing something else. And I realized that there was a very, very different mindset that she didn't get. And I really had a very hard time at that time explaining to her. And that mindset still is prevalent in most of our churches. We have been shifting and shifting and shifting, so I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. But at the same time, there's that mindset that every once in a while, the Lord catches me and says, no, this is the old pastoral mindset. It affects not only what you come in expecting, but what I look at you expecting, or what Al would look at the church expecting, or what Lisa would look at the church expecting. And we, all of us, need to make a mind shift. Even pastors, we're still believers, and we still have the same responsibilities that all believers do. Okay, the goal of the pastoral church is to meet needs. Remember I said, pastors, we just love to gather in our chicks, and we want everybody to feel good. And we want everybody to be healed. And we want everybody to grow in the Lord, and that we should. But the apostolic church is vision-oriented. We're not, as an apostolic church, we are looking for the vision of God and how we move in that vision. The needs still get met, but our mindset is different. We come in, what is the vision of God that we are being drawn into, and how do we all move forward in that? If I'm just looking to meet your needs and you're just looking to have your needs met, we aren't going anywhere. It's like a little child, you know, I need, gimme. And that's not the vision of God. So, when the focus is on the believer's personal call and equipping them for their destiny. So it's more like a school than a counselor's office. You know, when you come in and you ask us for something, or you come to us and you ask us for something, and we might say, well, what has God said to you? And try and help you work out what you're doing. But I'm equipped. My job is to equip you, not to just say, okay, do A, B, C, D. And get you to hear from the Lord for yourself. Members of a pastoral church are laymen, and they are not expected to minister much. If they minister too well, then they're expected to become a pastor, but only after they graduate from the seminary. All members of an apostolic church are expected to minister. The ministry team will feel they've failed if members are not ministering effectively. The ministry team, I'm talking about fivefold ministry, desires and expects that the congregation will learn to go beyond them in their ministry, much as parents want more for their children than they had. Number three, in a pastoral church, the pastor expects everyone to come to him, and he's not really interested in teaching believers how to minister, and some will even feel threatened if the members don't come to him. In an apostolic church, the leader's greatest joy is to have believers who minister more effectively than he does. Notice I didn't say pastor of the apostolic church, because the leader, like in our case, may not be a pastor, but one of the other fivefold offices. Our senior minister is an apostle, prophet. And then you have a teacher, and you have actually two pastors and a teacher. So we look to provide the evangelist, but we are looking to have you minister beyond where we go, beyond where we are. I want to see everyone in this church be able to go out and minister no matter where they are. Because only 2% of anybody has a calling of, we all have a calling of God. First, we've got to get over that. If you're called by God, that should be all of us, okay? And get over the idea that you're only called by God if you're supposed to be behind a pulpit. Because less than 2% of anybody called by God is supposed to be behind a pulpit. So where are the rest of us? In the marketplace, in the school, in the family, in the government, in the media. Heaven knows we need God in the media. We need to have truth in the media. In arts and entertainment, all of those in business, we need to have God in all of those places. So you are called to minister using your skills, your abilities, your vocabulary. Like I said, vocabulary of church isn't going to work in Matthias's office. It's not going to work in Sherry's office because she's in education. It's not going to work in Stephen's office on his lawnmower, wherever. Okay? Because it's a different vocabulary, but we can take the principles of God into those places and put them into motion without using what we call Christianese. Now, as apostolic pastors, we want our congregation to mature. We want to equip you. And then we want to send you out. Al sends us out every single week. And we expect first that you learn to be citizens of the kingdom before you become citizens of the church. In the past, it's been the other way around. First, you're the church, and then we think about kingdom. But whether you can have a heart and love God and never walk inside of a church, and that's a paradigm we need to get over as well. It's not only people inside the four walls that love God, and there are people that will not come into a church for one reason or another. Should they? Yes, I think they should, because they're missing. They're missing things that they need. But there are still people that love God that are part of the kingdom, but not necessarily part of the church. And so we need to be sending out and not gathering in. We need not to have an isolationist mindset. If you're in these four walls, this is who we are. This is who we are if we stand outside in the parking lot, because it's not the four walls and the mold. So tonight it's really bad. If we are apostolic, we are sending. Apostolos means to send. Now, if I'm going to send you out, I want to see you using, we've had, 6 weeks of teaching on spiritual gifts. I want to see you using those spiritual gifts. I've already given you the homework that you're supposed to know what your spiritual gift is. So you should have an idea of what you're going out and the strength that you can use. So you get sent out to use your spiritual gifts for the benefit and advancement of the kingdom. It's not for your personal benefit. It's not going to put $1 million in your bank account. That's not the perspective. But it will benefit the kingdom. And if that adds wealth to the kingdom, great. But wealth can be in other things other than money. We send you out equipped and trained for the purpose and the destiny that God has for you. That is the mandate of the church in the kingdom, is to equip and train you to go and take God to wherever you are sent. We send you into the mountain of culture that you've been called to. We will commission you into that mountain. Those of you that remember Patty Southcott, Lynn's and Rick's oldest daughter, remember that we actually commissioned her when she graduated in math to be a math teacher in the Rochester City Schools. And those that have requested that kind of commissioning will do that. The pastoral church is not a scriptural model. It is not, even today when I was looking at it in the Bible, there's nothing there that says pastor heads up the church. The church does reflect all of those characteristics that I said about the kingdom. It's supposed to, because that's partly how the kingdom is taken forward. But the traditional pastoral model is not a scriptural model of what the early church was or what it was supposed to be today. There's nowhere in scripture where it says that the church is supposed to be set up like most of them are today. We start with apostles. Their job is to establish the church and the fivefold ministry. They create an administration where spiritual gifts can grow, develop, and be used. The fivefold ministry is raised up and comes into place when apostles are functioning properly and with maturity. The apostolic anointing sets things in order so that they work. And I'll remind you, and we've talked about it before, the fivefold ministry is not a hierarchy, but a governmental anointing, each performing a God-ordained function. It's not a hierarchy. It's not an issue of who controls whom, but an issue of each member being an integral part of the body of Christ. We function with our spiritual gifts as a unified whole, and we are organized and set in order by an apostle. It was the model of the early church that allowed the church to explosively grow and be effective. They had apostles, they had prophets, they had teachers, they had evangelists, and those were spoken of more than the pastors. Pastors not mentioned very often. An apostolic pastor will still have a gift of pastor. They still would rather spend time with people than working on the next sermon or the next program. They still look at their congregation of their family. And the family is integral to the functioning of the church, and it's God's basic building block. It's the place where the early church functioned. Most of the churches that I read about today and that I've read about in the past were in someone's house. But they'd talk about the church in someone's house, and then they address the whole church in Corinth, meaning all the churches that were there coming together. And we've talked about that model quite a bit in this congregation. The long-range goal of a pastor is changing. Instead of gathering in and keeping everybody together and worrying about someone going out or not, we are sending people out to minister away from home. If this is home here, an apostolic church is looking, how can we send out and help others around? It's a basic building block of an apostolic center where resources from all seven mountains of culture can be brought together to help further the kingdom, to help others in each mountain move forward in the kingdom. And they find resources for people to build their maturity in whatever way we need. And you guys are used to this, in at least in we have a tradition of bringing in a lot of guest ministry that have certain strengths that maybe we don't have, or where you get an opportunity to hear what other people are doing in other places in the world because they've been there or they're from there. So, and we try to give as broad an experience as we can, and that's important. It's not just a one-person show or a two- or three-person show. We expect our family as pastors to be vibrant and dynamic and to come in with testimonies of what has happened in the kingdom and what God has done. When you come back in, what has God done in your life? What has God done this week? What has God done in the last month? Where is he taking you in your job? And what has he done through you? And we've had some of those testimonies. We love to hear kingdom victories, and we learn how to war to take back what the enemy has taken from them. We expect to hear about people set free. We expect to hear about oppression, being denied, about oppression being overcome. Apostles are mothers and fathers in the faith, in the kingdom, but apostolic pastors are fathers and mothers in the local church as a part of their family. So we would act like a father or a mother. We bring you encouragement, training, admonition, nurturing, and expect you to grow up. And then God looks at us and says, yeah, you grow up too. At least he does me. So we expect to see our family being the Vav. Remember last year was the year of the Vav. We expect to see our family being the vav between heaven and the culture that you have authority over on earth. Robert Heidler once put in good perspective, if you're a pastor, the measure of your success in God's eyes is not your ability to draw a big crowd on Sunday mornings. It's not your ability to preach inspiring sermons or run an efficient church. It's not even your ability to heal the sick or cast out demons. The measure of your success is your ability to raise up a generation of saints who can minister better than you. So that is the desire of my heart, is that everybody that I would know would minister better than me. And if I can't teach you how, that I would find the resources how to do that. Okay, that's this is not a preaching, which preaching means you're going to a decision. Teaching is information, and this was a teaching time to get you to think hopefully a little more clearly about the difference between the traditional church and where we have been going and where we are continuing to go into the apostolic and being sent. God bless you.
Thank you. We have apostolic pastors. We have shamar pastors who are watchers. And I think Casey has taught on that before. Whereas in the past, the pastors just watched to make sure the flock was okay. What the Lord has restored to that pastoral role is that they will see prophetically what it is the believers need and help them get to the place of fulfilling their destiny. So it's not just about being good little church people. It's about being kingdom-minded men and women that take things forward.